We'll now open the hearing to LD 1947, an act to amend the Maine Food Sovereignty Act. And presenting the bill is its sponsor, Representative Buckingham.
Thank you, Senator Ingerson. And good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. I am Billy Bob Faulkham, and I am here to present LD 1947, an act to amend the Maine Food Sovereignty Act. I appreciate your patience for waiting on me. You guys get through your work really well on this committee. I recently made some changes to the original bill, and I'll be addressing the amendment that is before you. So you're getting a sponsor's amendment to the bill. It's going to change it. I think it's going to take care of a few issues I may have had with the original one, and it's going to focus more on where I want to focus on, which is fairly narrow in scope. This amendment directly addresses the producer-to-consumer transactions. The selling of fruits and vegetables has not been a problem. However, if the producer was to make a pie or baked good with a product they grow, the state is taking such a narrow view of the Maine food sovereignty law that the producer could be found in non-compliance because the other ingredients that are in the baking good are not made or grown by the producer. For example, sugar would be one of the products that could be in non-compliance because the state is taking such a narrow view of the Maine food sovereignty law. Below are the changes that were made to the definition of food or food products to encompass the other ingredients. Food or food products, food. And what I've done here is in the amendment, you can see that I've added eggs, grain products, herb seasoning or spices. But the important thing there, I think to note is that including but not limited to that was originally in it. And then as well, some other additions at the end, honey, nuts, maple products, condiments, or any combination of those items, such as baked goods, sandwiches, or other meals. The other piece that this amendment addresses, the ability to get to the food to the consumer. Rather than having the food be purchased directly on site, the delivery process should be determined by the ordinance within the municipality and between the consumer and the producer. The food producer should be allowed to distribute their products through delivery drivers or be able to sell it at a local farmer's market. This seems like common sense. We have a bill to allow the sale of these products, but completely limit their ability to distribute. I feel that people should be able to buy these products if the consumer and the producer have an agreement. If the consumer is happy with the product they receive, that should be all that matters. That's the end of my testimony. I'm going to go over the amendment a little bit. And I also want to just note and go back to when the food sovereignty law was passed. It was passed under Governor Paul LePage, a Republican. There was a Republican Senate at the time and a Democrat House. So this was a bill that got through a pretty divided government, and it got the approval of, you know, all those people came to agree, and that's because there was such an upswell of support from the public. And if you look at the public now, there are over 100 municipalities that have joined onto this that have food sovereignty ordinances. So this is a very popular thing among the people. And I think that was confirmed a couple elections ago when the right food was on the ballot, and it passed with over 60% of the public. So the public supports being able to have their own control over their own food systems. And what we've seen is something that is very well supported in the public as far as being able to decide where your food comes from, producer and consumer. But the state has continued to take a very heavy-handed approach towards these sort of interactions and got in between people and their food. So that's what we're trying to address here. I think that the whole point and intention, and everybody that has supported and passed this law in the past, knows that the Maine Food Sovereignty Act is supposed to give municipalities the ability to regulate their own food systems. And the state has sort of, not here and there, gone against that. And it's just time that we need to clear this up. This has caused a lot of problems with people wondering what they're allowed to do, getting in trouble. The state's, you know, gone after food producers in certain circumstances. And I think that it's time that we line up the language of the intent along with what, or the intent with the language. So we have a little bit of work that we need to do as far as the producer to consumer transaction. And it doesn't need to be taken so literally that if I'm baking, you know, pies out of my kitchen, that, and Randy wants my pies, that I literally have to be there in my kitchen, myself and Randy, and I need to hand him the pie for the money. That it doesn't need to be that technical. The point is that Randy wants my pie, and I want Randy to have my pie. And no matter how we work that out, that's what the food sovereignty law is about. That's what the act is about. So that's what this amendment addresses. So in the first part here, and this was in the original bill, there's no change in section one, part one. There's no change in that from the original bill. So we're taking out a face-to-face transaction. We're taking that part out, and we're just saying an exchange. And I've, you know, already described that sort of exchange. And we're taking out at the site of production. If we're, you know, the municipality has passed food sovereignty law, and I'm baking the pies, and my brother wants to go deliver those pies to my 20 customers on my customer list, that's the type of thing that, you know, that we're talking about here. So, and what we've added in is directly between a food producer and a consumer on mutually agreed upon terms. So this takes care of the problem with, that the state has been, in some cases, acting on. Section two, this clarifies a food producer to a consumer and adds in a kitchen. So a kitchen means a room, area, site, or location where food or food products are processed and prepared for a direct producer to consumer transaction. In part B, we're putting in a definition to include who provides that transaction. Food that the person cultivates from the land, forages from the land, husbands on the land, or catches from the water, food, and the person procures from another source. Food that the person labels, packages, plates, serves, synthesizes, treats, modifies, manipulates by means of baking, barbecuing, boiling, bottling, canning, cooking, cooling, curing, cutting, distilling, drying, dehydrating, evaporating, eviscerating, extracting, fermenting, formulating, freezing, grilling, grinding, heating, treating, milling, mixing, pasteurizing, peeling, rendering, ripening, and trimming. And what we're saying here is, we're not trying to leave any room for the state to come in and get in between people who are producing food. And it doesn't matter if I'm selling dried fish or whatever. We just want the state to understand that the food sovereignty has a meaning. And when a municipality decides that they're going to implement a sovereignty ordinance, that we want the state to respect it. Food sovereignty in Part three, we've added a definition there. And I think this says very clearly that food sovereignty is the means, the right of the people to healthy and culturally appropriate foods produced, and the right of the people to define their own food and agriculture systems. So that is exactly what the intent of the food sovereignty law was. It was never never defined, but it's time to add a definition in there, because after all these years, both supporters and opponents don't seem to understand it. And this is what food sovereignty means. It means that local people get to decide how they want to have their food transactions. Part four amends the definition of traditional pathways. The definition is amended to specify traditional pathways, including the conveyance of knowledge regarding. This is a very important part, and it might change some testimony from here behind me. It removes hunting, gathering, fishing, foraging, buying, and selling of food, uses of food products other than for eating. Section five amends right food, adds and promote into that section. And that basically covers the amendment. So I hope that the amendment takes care of some concerns. I hope that it does what I intend it to do, which is to narrowly focus on an aspect of food sovereignty that has sort of, I would say, unexpectedly ran into some issues with the state. But I hope that this, I hope that we can pass this, and that way everybody's sort of clear about what food sovereignty is, what the state's role is, and the municipality's ability to enact food sovereignty. And with that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Representative, for your testimony. Appreciate it. Do we have any questions? Yes, Representative Fluker.
Thank you for your amendment. It looks great, really clearly, narrowly focused. As we are at the end of the session, do you have an intent around, do you want to see this voted out?
I would like to see this taken care of. These are important changes that need to be implemented. There are a lot of confusion out there. There's some current actions that the state are taking. And I think that this would more clearly define what the state's role and abilities are. And so, yeah, these are important clarifications need to be taken care of. So I'd like to see it taken care of.
I have a question for you. In the summary of the bill, it mentions it prohibits the state from enforcing any law or rule, taking an enforcement action, or interfering in any way with the activities authorized by a local food ordinance, except those state laws or rules that involve the state's meat and poultry products inspection, registration, and licensing. So it's pretty clear there's a line there meat and poultry inspection.
Yep.
But you mentioned in food producer as anybody that is eviscerating meat or curing, I assume that's meat or meat products. Would the inspections preempt that piece where it describes what a food
producer can do? That doesn't preempt state inspected meat.
Oh, it doesn't preempt. Yeah.
The inspection, meat and poultry are off the table.
Okay. Thank you. Have any further questions? Yes, Representative Shaw.
So what does this do for the dairy producers? Because that's a big concern.
I don't see as there's any change there as far as dairy. Maybe you could.
Thank you. So we've heard from folks that are concerned about producers that are not licensed of dairy products, cheese and milk, being able to offer their product to consumers.
So there's dairy producers that are already operating under the Maine Food Sovereignty Act. And they would still operate the same way that they do. That's sort of I feel like that issue was taken care of a long time ago. If you're talking about like the raw milk issue. Yeah. And this, that's actually been one issue where the state has already sort of stepped down on enforcement and allowing people to do that. Yeah.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony.